Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is John Faddis, whose trumpet playing is just about the best there is anywhere, not to mention all his other accomplishments, teaching, composing, conducting, recording, and on. But his horn playing is truly amazing, as you will hear shortly. John, it's great to have you, and you've brought this wonderful bassist, John Lee, who was with Dizzy Gillespie for the last 10 years of his life.
Yeah.
And it's great to see you.
Well, it's great to see you again, and thank you for having us.
Well, now, I can't keep up with you because I don't know what's happening lately. Are you playing gigs with your group?
I'm playing gigs and traveling quite a bit. I'm teaching, like you mentioned. I'm trying to write some new music and doing all those things that Dizzy tried to get me to do years ago.
Dizzy was a great influence on you, wasn't he?
In many, many ways, not just musically, but on a very personal level as well. And, you know, he was always willing to share his experiences and knowledge about music and life. No matter how tired he was, he, if you asked him a question about music or something, he would sit down and talk to you for hours.
Well, you met him when you were just a kid, didn't you?
I first met Dizzy when I was 12 years old, but I was too shy to say anything. So I told myself, John, the next time you meet Dizzy, you got to talk to him. And that next time happened 3 years later when I was 15, and I met him at the Monterey Jazz Festival, and I'd taken all of my Dizzy Gillespie records there, hoping that he would autograph them. And we met him, and he sat down on the grass in the fairground, and he I don't remember this record. And I said, yeah, that's the one where your solo goes like this. And I'd start singing his solo to him.
Oh, my God.
He looked at me like I was totally nuts. And a couple of weeks later, he was playing at the jazz workshop, and my mother took me over, and I took my horn. And he let me sit in. And I was so nervous. The room was spinning around. And, oh, scared me. Because that was truly my hero.
And always has been.
Yes. Well, since I was about 10 years old. And my trumpet teacher, Bill Catalano, introduced me to Dizzy Gillespie's music by saying, Dizzy Gillespie is the greatest trumpet player in the world. And I told myself, well, if he's the greatest, you know, that's what I want to sound like.
And you do. You do. And you play a lot of his tunes, and I think that would be a good way to start the show if we play one of his tunes.
Well, what I have in mind is not actually one of his tunes, but one written by a colleague of Dizzy's, Tad Dameron. And it's a bebop tune based on the standard, What Is This Thing Called Love? And the name of this song is Hot House.
Wonderful. Let's do it.
Thank you.
It's funny, you know, that reminds me of being in Paris, Charles Delaunay's place, during the war, I guess. And he played that record of Dizzy playing at 2:09. The faintest idea what they were doing. It was so amazing to me to hear that. I'd never heard anything like that before.
Well, it had been, a pretty big leap stylistically from what had gone on before it. And I remember talking with Thad Jones one time, and he said he heard this, you know, he was in the services, and he was overseas, and when he heard, you know, Diz and Bird on the radio, he just started laughing and dancing around the room. He couldn't believe what he had just heard. And I think it had that effect on, you know, many people.
Well, I was thrilled to hear that, believe me, and I couldn't wait to meet Dizzy, which happened a long time later. So, you met Dizzy. Where and when was your first gig? Like, when you were, what, 17 something?
Well, by that time I'd been playing with top 40 bands and big bands in and around San Francisco. One of the things that my teacher, Bill Catalano, did was he would bring me over to big bands in San Francisco when I was, you know, 10, 11 years old and say, just sit there and listen. And then he'd say, play this part, the next four bars coming up. And I'd try to play the part, not mess it up. And I just grew up surrounded with the big band sound. When I graduated high school, my father wanted me to go to college because he was very active in civil rights, and he felt that education was very, very important. And I did too, but my trumpet teacher was saying, you should be in New York, and you should be playing with Dizzy and hanging out with Thad Jones and Mel Lewis and Snooky Young and Clark Terry, and you should be in New York. And it happened that not long after he told me that, he was walking down a street in San Francisco, and he looked in the coffee shop window, and Lionel Hampton was sitting on the other side of the glass. So he ran inside the coffee shop and said, Lionel, I got a trumpet player you got to hear. And Lionel said, okay, okay. And he introduced himself, and I think he had played with Lionel at one time. And they set up an audition for me, and the audition took place the day that Louis Armstrong passed away, which was July 6th, 1971, and my parents and I drove to Lake Tahoe, and I went backstage with the band, and they pulled out some charts, and, you know, I was rehearsing the charts. And the next thing, the curtain opened up, and I was on stage with Hamp.
Wow, how did that feel? What went through your mind at that time?
After the first time I played with Dizzy, I wasn't really nervous. The first time I played with Dizzy, the room was spinning around. I mean, I remember everything just spinning. I was so nervous, and then after that, you know, I was really...
You were cool then with Lionel.
Yeah, but I was excited because, you know, Lionel Hampton was one of my heroes. And he sent for me a couple of weeks later to join him in Dallas, Texas, and I went and joined the band and came to New York.
You were still really a kid, like, what, 19, maybe?
I had just turned 18.
Wow.
And then I got a chance to... Lionel did a TV show in Toronto. And on this TV show, he had people like Roy Eldridge, B.B. King, Cat Anderson, Ernie Royal, Zoot Sims, Buddy Rich, Mel Torme. I got a chance to meet
goodness.
All these people, and I was just
there
in heaven.
You were. Well, before I hear any more of this amazing saga of your life, let's do another tune.
Well, how about one of my favorite tunes? It's a Lee Morgan composition, and it's called Ciora.
That is a beautiful tune. Let's do that.
Sounds good. A one, a two, a one.
Thank you.
You know, that really is a beautiful tune, and somehow it doesn't get played as much as it should. I don't know why.
I don't either, but I'm glad we had the opportunity to play it together, Mary.
Me too, and I will remember to play it with my own group once in a while, because there's so many pretty tunes around, and sometimes I seem to wind up with the same 10 tunes, and yet I know lots of tunes.
Marian, I've heard you in concert, and I have to toot your horn because you are one of the most amazingly open-minded musicians I know, because you are playing, you know, standards from way back, but you also play things from Ornette Coleman and things. You're amazing, Marian.
Oh, I love Ornette. I love I love to do, what's that thing, Rambling. Oh, that thing is so funny, you know, and it's got... that fits right in. It's, he probably doesn't know that thing. Anyway, enough about me. I could go on rambling about that tune anyway, Ciora. But there's more to come with John Faddis. John Lee is on bass. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You know what would be really fun to hear? I'm being selfish because I want to hear it, and that's something you would do with John, and I'll go and listen. Have you got such a thing lined up?
Yes. One of the most beautiful tunes that Dizzy wrote, and it's also one of those tunes that is not done enough, but it's a tune that he wrote for the late... as Dizzy used to say, the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And it's called The Brother K. And it was first recorded under the title Exotica.
By Dizzy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But then he used to hang out with Dr. King down in Atlanta, and they would go out for soul food. And he dedicated this tune to him. It's a gorgeous tune, Brother K.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. Thank you. That's such an interesting tune, Brother K. It's got so many different parts in it.
Mm. Well, you know, Diz was a stickler for rhythm, and he incorporated all these little things with different melodies and into the composition.
God, Diz wrote some great things, all of them very original, very unlike any other tune. Well, you know what? I could maybe play something myself, just to do my little bit towards the overall scheme of things. What do you think?
I think that would be a great idea, Marion. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Maybe a Duke tune. Would you be for that, or could you think of something you'd like to hear?
You know Warm Valley?
I do. Took me a long time to learn it, but I do know that. Yeah, I could do that.
That's one of my favorites. You hear it, you know, when Johnny Hodges used to play that. Oh, my goodness. Whew.
All right, I'll play that tune.
Marion, that warm valley was absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
That was really gorgeous. Duke is, you know, something else. And that other, there's another tomb, Daydream, Strayhorn.
Oh, I love that.
I love that one, too.
I love them all, tell you the truth. Used to play that. And when I was at the Hickory House, Duke used to be at a table with Eve, I think her name was. He would be there, and Billy would be at the bar, sort of way up. He always sat there alone. And it was kind of an inducement to me to learn some of his tunes. Mm. So I learned as many as I could while he was there. And Duke, too, boy. And Duke would get up when asked and sit in with the trio, which was really nice. Mm. God, he was really good to me.
He was really underrated as a pianist everyone thinks of him as a composer, but he was a great pianist.
He sure was. And when I was somewhere along the line, I picked up a record on Capitol of him playing solos, a lot of which I still don't know, like Melancholia, that's a good one. And he sounded wonderful on this record, and yet I don't know why he didn't play more, actually. He would just play a little intro to get the band on stage.
Well, when the band was playing, that was also Duke.
That's true. God, he's one of the first guys I listened to in England, and couldn't wait to meet him. Wow. Time has gone by. Well, there's more in a minute. My guest is John Faddis, with John Lee on bass. For more information about Piano Jazz guests, past and present, visit our website at www.pianojazz.npr.org. Our program is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company, manufacturers of the pianos heard on Piano Jazz. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Time's going by, and we're playing, and we're having a ball. There's so many things I haven't asked you about. Like, for instance, putting together a band for Dizzy's 70th birthday. All these great things you did.
Well, that was such fun. John Lee was a member of that band, and we had just a wonderful time. And I think it really uplifted Dizzy's spirit.
Because
Dizzy in front of a big band, there's nothing like that.
That did a great deal for him. And it evidently did something for George Wein, because that's how you got started with the band Steady at Carnegie Hall, right?
Yes. He heard me put this band together, and he heard us rehearse, and he heard us in concert. And then he asked me if I would put together a big band for him for the centennial celebration at Carnegie Hall, the 100th anniversary of Carnegie Hall. We didn't have a lot of time to rehearse, but we rehearsed the stuff, and the band came out and really sounded good. And George Wein said that was the best put-together big band that he had ever heard.
So he wanted more.
So he wanted more, and he got it.
He got more.
Yes.
So you were there for quite a few years.
There for 10 years at Carnegie Hall.
Wow. Is that band on records for future people to hear?
We did a couple of recordings. We did one recording that is now, unfortunately, out of print on the Blue Note label entitled The Carnegie Hall Jazz Band. But all of the concerts were recorded for National Public Radio for Jazz Set. So maybe there's a possibility in the future that some of them will come out on disc.
I would think a distinct possibility. Wow, that's something to look forward to. As is the next tune, which is going to be a duet with you and John.
Well, Dizzy loved rhythm. Rhythm was his business. As they used to say with Jimmy Lunsford's band. And the tune that we're going to do is one that Dizzy used to do. He first recorded this in 1964 with James Moody and Kenny Barron, Chris White, and Rudy Collins. And he later revived it and started to play it when whenever I would sit in with him and when John Lee was a member of the group. And it's called Fiesta Mojo.
I can't wait to hear this one. You two have done this before. Your duets are a symphony in perfect synchronization, good notes, and it's really terrific rhythm. It's wonderful to listen to.
Well, thank you. I think we have a common love and appreciation for Mr. Gillespie's music. John spent 10 years with Dizzy's band, And I sat in with him. I played with him since I was 15 up until the time he passed away. So there's something very special about Dizzy's music, and it's one of the things that we try to perpetuate and to continue and to pass on to the next generations.
And if you keep on playing it like that, you sure will get more people to play these things. Boy, it's wonderful. Well, there's more coming up with my guest, John Faddis. John Lee is on bass. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR on the web at www.pianojazz.npr.org. Believe it or not, we have another duo, as well we might, coming up. And this one I don't know too much about. This one's called Squeezin'.
It's called Squeezin'.
Where'd you get that name?
Well, it was inspired by two compositions. One was Duke Ellington's composition that he did with Rex Stewart, Boy Meets Horn.
Oh, yeah.
Where when Rex would use a lot of half valves, you know, and you hear him squeezing
that?
The notes.
Can you do a little, show me what you mean there?
So Rex would do that.
I remember that piece that Rex did.
Mm-hmm. And Thad Jones wrote a composition called Kids Are Pretty People. It's a gorgeous tune. And it's sort of a combination, this tune Squeezin' is sort of a combination of those two tunes. And it's one that I wrote, years ago.
Oh, you wrote this one, not Dizzy.
No, this is one of my tunes that I wrote.
Good.
So I hope you enjoy.
I know I will. I've enjoyed everything else, and I'm enjoying every minute of what we're doing. So go to it, my man. My men. Thank you. Boy, it really is a great piece.
Well, thank you. Thank
you. Do you ever do it any other way, like not as a duet? Like, will it work with a whole group?
Yeah, that's a piece that I play with small group quite often, and I do it on flugelhorn. I play this piece on flugelhorn because I like the mellowness in the way those notes squeeze.
It squeezes. Obviously, it squeezes more mellowly on the flugelhorn.
Yes, it's in a mellow tone.
That would make a good title for a tune.
Well, it's got to be mellow.
Everything we've done is mellow, and I hate to have to even talk about quitting, but we do have to because we're not finished, but we're sort of almost finished. So what do you think would be a really good tune to end
well,
on?
I think that since a lot of the tunes that we've chosen today have been on the mellow side, let's do something a little bit more festive.
Festive?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good word.
A little bit more festive. How about St. Thomas, Sonny Rollins?
Oh, that's a great one. I love that tune. There's a lot of humor in his tunes somehow, and... Oh, we could really do a job on this one, couldn't we?
That'd be great.
tune is always fun to play.
It was fun to play it with you, Marion. Thank you for having us once again.
Thank you for coming, you and John. It was a ball.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marion McPartland and her guest John Faddis in a program from 2004. Join us each week at this time for an hour of conversation and improvisation with Marion McPartland and her outstanding guests. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer Duke Marcos. Assistant engineer Chinook Kang. Mastering engineer David Mitchell. Engineering intern David Roberts. Production coordinator David Lyon. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To learn more about the artists and music selections on Piano Jazz, or to listen to a recent program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There, you'll also find a link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR stations, and NPR. Support for the original production of this program was provided in part by the National Endowment for the Arts, the Baldwin Piano Company, Borders Books and Music, and the Verve Music Group. Support for NPR comes from the Lemelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.